You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Every business needs those simple strategies to get their passion project the funding it needs to survive. She's a small business owner and knows firsthand what it takes to get your business on its way. You're listening to Womenpreneur Funding with Smita Singh.
Hello, bold and fearless entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 5 of Womenpreneur Funding. I'm having a ton of fun on this podcast, and if you are too, write to me or call me. There's a little button on my website that says send me a voicemail so I can know what your questions are and I can get them answered on this show. All right, so today we talked to newsletter guru Jim Palmer. I had a ton of fun talking to him. He is very honest and a straightforward business coach, and he gives us a ton of value in this episode. We learned from him that online newsletters are not a substitute for printed newsletters and that they're super important for customer retention. I think it was really interesting and one of the things that I'm going to keep in mind when I'm starting to send out newsletters. He also stresses on the fact that every entrepreneur needs to be a marketer. You can have all the right pieces, but if you're not a marketer, you cannot drive traffic to your product. And also, last but not the least, key piece of advice, you will earn significantly more money for who you are than what you do. Let that sink in, ladies, a little bit. I think that's really profound. All right, so let's get right into it with Jim Palmer. Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Funding. I am so excited to have with me today Jim Palmer. He is amazing. He's a marketing and business building expert and in-demand coach. He's the founder of the Dream Biz Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. Jim is also the host of Newsletter Guru TV, the hit weekly web TV show watched by thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners. And he is also the host of Stick Like Glue Radio, a weekly podcast based on Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building strategies. Jim is best known internationally as the newsletter guru and creator of No Hassle Newsletters and the ultimate done-for-you newsletter marketing program used by hundreds of clients in 9 countries. I am so super excited to have you on, Jim. Welcome to Womenpreneur Funding.
Hi, Smita. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. And, you know, you've done so many great things and you've helped so many entrepreneurs. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are and what you're up to.
I am a grandfather.
Wow.
Yep. Pretty excited about that. I've been married 34 years. I became an entrepreneur 14 years ago. Grew my first business to multiple six figures in 4 years, but then took a hard left turn and got into the whole online world and now have several businesses. You mentioned No Hassle Newsletters, No Hassle Social Media, my coaching program. I do the live events, Dream Business Academy, and I'm just releasing my 6th book in 6 years. Years called Decide the Ultimate Success Trigger. So yeah, we're not sleeping a lot these days.
I bet. So with the grandchild and the books and your coaching business, I bet you're busy.
It is busy, but it's good. It's yes. Better than, you know, twiddling your thumbs worrying about where you're going to get your next client from.
Right. So what made you move from brick and mortar kind of business to an online business?
You know, it was interesting. In 2001, when I started, you know, I came from kind of a corporate background. So I started a business and grew it the way a lot of people do based on their experience. And so you start small, you wear a lot of hats, you start doing a lot of different things. So you have whatever your core skill or competency is. But then as a lean, mean, you know, entrepreneur, you also are the bookkeeper, the driver, the janitor, the client service, all the different things, anything that has to be done as you. The problem is, Smita, as you grow your company, the demands for your time keep increasing, right? And so that things start getting a little bit out of hand and you become very much tied to your business. I realized in 2000, I guess 2005, early 2006, that yes, I owned a business, but I was the sole employee of that business. If I wasn't doing everything, there was no business to be done. And while, you know, the financially I was doing better, I wanted a little bit more time freedom. And so that's when I started, you know, going the internet route. And I have clients all over this country. I have clients in 9 different countries actually use a lot of my programs. And so it gives me time freedom to be, you know, a little more flexible. I'm not chained to my desk or my computer all the time.
Right. Nice. I love it. It's almost like me, because I've owned a brick and mortar store and, you know, physical businesses. And now I'm moving into the online world. So I'm definitely have to pick up some pointers from you.
You know, it's fun. So I know you're just getting started in that world. But when I started No Hassle Newsletters in 2006, I guess, and I got, you know, one new member, 2, 4, 10. But then all of a sudden I got somebody, I think my first internet was from Canada. And then I got one from the UK. And then I got somebody from Australia. And all of a sudden I realized, hey, I'm international.
Right.
You know, so when you have an internet-based business, you can do business anywhere. You're not tied to the usual 5-mile radius that a lot of retailers deal with.
That is so true. And yes, I mean, that's actually one of the, I want to say, drawbacks of having a brick and mortar store. Sometimes, even especially if you're not online, is definitely that you're very local. I guess it's good. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Awesome. I do want to talk about your money mindset coaching. I think I was just so intrigued. Tell us a little bit about money mindset coaching and how would women entrepreneurs, how would they identify with it, and what's hidden profit opportunities?
You know, what's interesting is when you start working with a business coach, as entrepreneur, and I work with coaches myself. So, you should never really not work with a coach or be in a mastermind situation, because the truth of the matter is, Smita, we're all too close to our business, right? Mm-hmm. We can't sometimes see the forest through the trees. And I will tell you this, probably 2 or 3 of the things that are working for me well right now were actually ideas that came from other people or just in either a coaching or a mastermind situation. And if you think about it, you know, I sometimes when I'm talking about success or something, I'm saying, you know, entrepreneurs are like firemen. We're always putting out the biggest fire that day and just keep moving down to the smallest one. But, you know, unless you're acting proactively, you know, with a plan for growth, you're not going to get there just being a fireman. So one of the things I do with my coaching business is I help people not only with marketing, but business development and business growth opportunities. And a lot of the times how that happens is when we're doing like one-on-one calls, you know, everybody gets a private call every month. And so sometimes we're talking about what's working in their business, what's not, things like that. But a lot of times an entrepreneur will say something just almost innocently, like, and I'll say, well, wait a minute, there's a big opportunity there. And then we'll go and investigate it and see if there's a big enough market and we'll chase that. But you know, I've really found that most entrepreneurs are just so busy running day to day that they don't see the growth opportunities that might be right in front of them.
Right, right. I like that. And I think you're so right, because masterminds, I'm learning myself, is so important to just brainstorm and put your ideas out there. And you're right, half the time other people will give you ideas and you're like, oh, wow, okay, that's going to totally work for me. That's right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So when you work with them, do you do one-on-one?
We do. So I have 3 different programs. So it involves, and my mastermind group is virtual. So I have people all over the country. I have mastermind members in Canada and Australia. So we come together once a month on a group call. I actually have 2 group calls because my programs just keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So we have 2 group calls every month. And then in addition, so that's like where the masterminding takes place. But then in addition, each coaching client gets a private call with me during the month, and we can really dive into some good stuff, you know, in a more private matter.
So when you were talking about growth opportunities, how important is for an entrepreneur to, I guess, really do a pre-research or pre-launch? Because a lot of times, you know, I've heard your target market will say, yes, I'm interested in whatever you're doing. But when it comes to actually going out and, you know, buying that product or buying that service, they will say, okay, I'm not ready for it right now. So, you know, what do you you think are maybe the key things that people should kind of keep in mind when they're looking for growth opportunities?
You know, you said it, probably the most important word is research. You have to figure out, you know, a lot of people, I don't know, not so much now, but I think in the last couple of years, Meet, I've heard this, oh, you got to have a lot of passion. If you're really passionate about something, you can make a go of it. Well, you could be passionate about, you know, knitting quilts or, I mean, actually there's some people that I'm trying to come up with something really obscure, but you could, okay, here's something that's totally off the wall. You could say, I love when I can take an Afghan and make it really large and I cover my car with it. So there's, you know, I mean, it's really off the wall, right? But if you're really passionate about something, and people can be passionate about anything and we're all wired differently, but there has to be a market for that. And so thankfully, because of the online world, you can go to Google and kind of get a an AdWords account, or you can use different search tools to find out how many people are searching for what you're passionate about or what you think is a good idea. So using the silly idea I just said, if I went to Google and said large Afghans for cars or knitted car covers, you know, how many, it's probably like three people search for that. Well, you know, you're not going to build a business on that. However, if there's like 100,000 or, you know, a million people searching for it, you know, there's probably a decent market for that.
Right. And then you go out and find your niche in it.
You know, there was so you mentioned I do these, I've been doing weekly videos for in my sixth year now, and I teach lessons every week. And so about 5 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, I forget time, but my wife and I adopted a dog, and it's kind of the first dog I ever had as an adult, a Beagle Basset. And so here we are, we're in winter, and it's actually snowing now as you and I are recording this. But I remember the first winter that we had Toby, so I got my snowblower out and I cleared the driveway, and then I took about another 20 minutes or half an hour to clear this big space in the front yard to clear grass, because I figured Toby needs a place to go do his business. And I did that, and I was exhausted. And then I said, okay, Toby, come on out and go. And well, he just bounds through the snow and just goes wherever. I mean, he's half buried. And he's so really, I mean, it's kind of another silly example of I didn't do any research. Do dogs need lawn? No, they go right in the snow.
Right. That's very apt, actually.
Yeah.
So tell me, you are the newsletter guru. Can you give us a couple of pointers of how newsletters can help grow businesses?
Really, you know, a lot of people think of a newsletter as just something fun that you should have for your business. It's a place where you can, you know, share Aunt Martha's cookie recipe or something like that. And really the only reason to have a newsletter is to grow your business. But there are some really great ways that you can do that. First of all, when you have what I refer to as a monthly friendly customer newsletter, and I'm talking about a paper and ink print and mail newsletter, you are going to get stronger relationships with your customers, clients, patients, whatever your business is. And when you have stronger relationships, they're going to buy more frequently, more often, they'll buy more stuff, and they're also going to refer more. So the overall strategy is one of client retention. A lot of people think, well, I need to grow my business. I need to go get more new customers, get me more new. In reality, if you would pay more attention to and build stronger relationships with the people who have already given you money, and those are your current customers, you're going to add more business. You're going to add more to your bottom line because, as I said, they're going to buy more and refer more. So having said that, that's like the big picture. So the thing that I feel will grow the strongest relationships with your customers is a monthly newsletter. It's just been proven over decades and decades. If it's done correctly with the right kind of content, if it's just very light reading, fun and interesting, first of all, you're staying top of mind. Because every month, you know, your customers are being reminded of who you are. Maybe you're talking about some success stories, how you've helped another client or two, maybe share some humor, but they look forward to it and they enjoy it. And that's it's a wonderful thing. So the bottom line answer is you will get more repeat business and more referrals.
So what, according to you, would be the perfect length for it? Like, would it be?
The perfect length is a 4-page newsletter. That's 11 by 17, folded 8.5 by 11. That gives you a 4-page newsletter. newsletter. And what you're looking for, again, what you want to realize, this is a relationship building tool. It's not like a sales generator per se. It is going to generate more sales, but you don't want to put like the special of the month in there because that just makes it a sale flyer. You actually want it to be an informative, fun, interesting newsletter. And so a 4-page newsletter, if it's done correctly with a good amount of pictures, you know, with every article and stuff, that can be read in 10 minutes or less. That's kind of my rule of thumb. So if a customer gets your newsletter, you know, out of the mailbox, they walk inside, they sort through a few different things, and they look at your newsletter, they can flip through that thing in 10 minutes or less. There's a good chance they're going to do that. If you send them something like 8, 12, 16 pages, and a lot of people do this, Smita, they think the more I give, the better it's going to be. Well, actually not. They're not going to read it because they're going to see how long it's going to take them to read it. So they'll be putting it down on the counter. They'll just sit around for a while. The shorter, the better. And 4 pages is about the right size.
And what do you think of online newsletters?
It's a good part of your overall marketing mix, but it cannot stand alone. And here's why. First of all, people don't read big documents online, you know, like a news. You can't put a 4-page newsletter online. As far as electronic newsletters, here's the thing. You need to be in front of your customers. Oh, so if that's a given, and somebody may say, okay, Jim, I do agree with the newsletter, but I'm going to do electronic newsletter and not pay for printing and postage. Here's the deal. If you could even get a 10% deliverability rate these days, you're like a rock star. And what that means is if you have 1,000 customers on your email list and you're only doing email newsletters, when you send out that newsletter, there's 900 of your customers are not going to receive it due to the filters and things like that. And so those are 900 of your 1,000 customers that are not hearing from you, not remembering your name. So yes, you do have to pay a little more to actually print it and mail it, but it's always about the return. It's not about the money you're spending or investing in your business. It's about what that investment is going to do by way of return.
That's interesting. Because obviously, you know, in today's day and age, everybody's going online. And I think to have that mindset of thinking that you could probably do both even.
Do you know how many magazines have gone out of business because they've said, for crying out loud, it costs us like $1.50 or $2 to mail a newsletter in which we're charging clients $1 a month. So we're losing money there. Hopefully they make it up in revenue. But as soon as they said, let's go online, we'll send, it'll be fun. They'll open it in their iPad. They'll flip the pages. I can probably think of 3 or 4 magazines that went out of business because, I mean, I don't want to read I'm into boating. I don't want to read boating magazine on my iPad. I want to sit there on the couch and flip through the pages and take it with me when I go on the plane. And you know what I mean? So the online world has definite advantages. There's a lot you can do with it, but is not a substitute for actual making contact with people that should be valuable to you.
That's interesting. And do you send your newsletters international?
We do.
That's really interesting.
And okay. And I send my books international. And you know what? I think when I'm selling books, I think I charge like $4 more for international. But for the people who subscribe to my newsletter, I don't charge extra. Now, it costs me extra to mail it, but I also don't believe in nickel and diming people that are good customers. So yeah, if it costs me $2 or $3 a month, but they stay happy, they're a customer, you know, I think that's worth it.
Right. Wow.
Wonderful. I mean, did you ever go to a store? Think about it. Have you ever gone to a store? Let's say you go to a restaurant and you get the normal thing, but then you say, you know, can I have an extra sugar packet? Okay, but I'm going to have to charge you 10 cents for that. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, Jim, you have worked with so many, you know, so many entrepreneurs, one-on-one in masterminds. What do you think are the 3 most important skills that women entrepreneurs in particular should either, you know, develop or should have or should hone?
The number one skill every entrepreneur, male, female, whatever, needs is to be marketer. Marketing is what drives everything. If you don't have good marketing, you're not going to attract clients, whether it's to a website or your business. And therefore, you could have the best product, the best price. You could even be the best salesperson, right? But if you don't have good marketing driving traffic, that's going to really hurt you. So if you're not a good marketer, you should either learn it or hire somebody who is a good marketer. Again, too many people try and bootstrap it and think they're going to put together and design an ad, or maybe they're going to write an ad or something like that. And, you know, the first thing they do is they stick a logo at the top, which is the least least important part of any ad because it doesn't speak to the customer about what they want and what they're looking for. Right. You know, I mean, imagine if you go online and search for, let's say you search for hearing aids and you go to the, and you say, and there's like an ad that says, you know, hearing aids, and you click on it, think you're going to go see hearing aids. And then there's this big website with logos and it's like about five links. So this, that, what you want to do is when someone clicks on a link, it takes them to a page so they see exactly what they're looking for. Don't make them hunt for it, you know. So yeah, I think you asked for three. So I would be a good marketer, I would be a good delegator, and I would be an awesome communicator. And that's sort of marketing. But you know, when you're running staff and dealing with customers and clients and things like that, you need to be an exceptional communicator as well.
Definitely, I think marketer is so important today. And I've seen more and more also, you know, if you have a product or you have something that you're going out to the market with, I think it's so important to have that perfect, well, I guess perfect is not the right word, but an awesome launch where you have people already following you before you even launch that product. You know, I think that itself is a great propeller to move forward.
I agree with that. A launch is really important. And again, as you and I are doing this interview right now, we're right in the middle of launching my book, Decide the Ultimate Success Trigger. And, you know, first of all, writing a book is an enormous amount of work. It's a huge time commitment. So a lot of times, and I'll kind of raise my hand and see, you know, admit to, you know, on my other books, I get so tired by the end of completing the book, I kind of drop the ball a little bit with the marketing. But on this one, we have actually put together a full launch team. We've got a whole website. We got people promoting it. I've done, I think, 26 interviews in the last 7 days talking about the book. So in any kind of organization, group, whatever, you always hear about the top 1 or 2%, right, Smita? Mm-hmm. And so there's a reason for that. It's not that they're lucky or whatever. It's that there's certain, we're all wired differently. And the people who are really successful understand all the pieces that have to come together and all the pieces that flow. And it is a lot of work. And it's like, you know, sometimes it's herding cats or pushing a boulder up a hill. But there are people who can do that and are willing to do that work. And those are the people that you know, enjoy more success generally.
Yes. And what do you think is an ideal launch time, like pre-launch?
Well, there's a whole strategy to that. One of the things is you don't just say, okay, we're open, come see us. There's a whole pre-launch. So probably for the last 3 weeks, I've been doing pre-launch, which is building anticipation. So I do a lot of social media. So I've pictured different pictures of the book, quotes from the book. And, you know, I'd come up with some cool graphics. I'd put the word decide, which is the title. And then I'd say coming, you know, March 9th. And I haven't given the website yet. So I'm just building anticipation. Right. But then we have a whole big launch that's going to happen starting, you know, on Monday.
Nice. Are you on Instagram?
I don't think I am.
Yeah, I've heard that Instagram is getting a lot of traction for book releases.
Is that right? I hear that too.
Yeah, apparently, you know, exactly what you said, like people will take quotes and put it on it. And apparently there are a lot of people now following Instagram. But yeah, so tell me a little bit about your book.
It is called Decide the Ultimate Success Trigger. And the reason I decided to write this book is when I was doing my live events, basically people were telling me the information that I was sharing there, you need to share on a bigger scale, because I'm very transparent. I talk a lot about things you should do to have a successful business, but I also share some of the challenges that I've had and some of the things that didn't work out so well. And because I think what's important, I think, in addition to information and education, is inspiration. So I think it helps when you can share a little bit about your journey to help other people, you know, either in the same place or avoid the mistakes and things like that. So it is primarily a book on mindset. So a lot of people struggle with things from head trash or feeling the need to be perfect before you move forward. There's something called the imposter syndrome, where when you're starting out, people kind of feel like you're going to be found out, like you're not who you are, that type of thing. So I tackle all those. It's a pretty hard hitting book. It's not a feel good book full of quotes, you know, from millionaires and billionaires. It's really digs really deep in the thing that holds a lot of people back. And see, the way I describe it in the book is that the skill, talent, and work ethic that you have, that's like the machine of your business. And the mindset is the fuel that drives the machine.
Wonderful. So now, when is it releasing again?
Monday, March 9th is the release date. And nice. What I'm doing, so I'm not sure when this interview is going to come out, but what I'm doing is we're actually, just to really, really kind of give back and you know, because mm-hmm. show appreciation for what I, you know, all the blessings in my life, we're actually giving away 500 free copies of this book. And the only thing that we're asking is that the people who want it pick up the shipping and handling, but I'm actually going to, it's not a digital book. I'm going to ship you a hard copy book. You pick up the shipping and handling. And this is for the first 500 people that go to decideforsuccessbook.com. So that's decide, F-O-R, forsuccessbook.com.
Nice. And we'll definitely put it in the show notes too, so they can have that. Wonderful. Jim, what is for growth for a entrepreneur, how important are, you know, analytics, or how important are systems in a business?
Systems are really important. You know, when you're, so there's two, let's say there's two kinds of entrepreneurs. There's those very, very new. And that's, like I said, in the early days, you're doing everything. What's more important than systems is cash flow. So if you're not selling anything, you don't have a business. I mean, you have nice business cards, maybe even set up a nice office. You got a nice, whatever it is. But if you don't have any sales, you actually do not have a business. So you got to go out and generate sales. As you start gaining momentum, get more clients, maybe even have a part-time person or something, that's when you need to start putting systems into place. Because before you can blink, you're probably going to be 5 years down the road, you know, and, you know, be doing a lot more volume, have a lot more customers. It's best to put the systems in place when you're young and new, and the business is kind of, you know, not real mature. But like I said, whether it's the first 30 days, the first year, whatever that looks like, go out and get clients and make mm-hmm. sales. That's most important.
Right. So market and then go out and get clients.
Exactly.
Perfect. And, you know, I'm sure part of it is also what I'm going to ask in the next question, but I want to know what are, say I'm a new business owner, I'm ready to start a business, or I have an idea, I want to go about starting a business. What are the three critical steps that I need to keep in mind to make sure that I do these right and then everything else will fall in place?
Well, that's kind of a question. It doesn't always happen that way.
Right.
So, all right. So just so I understand the question. So if somebody's really new, what are the three things they need to do?
Yes.
First of all, do research. Make sure your product is needed. Second of all, find out where your perfect target customer hangs out. So if you were selling accessories for mini cars, you know, those little cars, mm-hmm. then you want to go to all the forums and all the places. There's probably associations and groups that are like mini car fanatics, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why would you advertise, for example, you know, in a place where people who knit big things for cars hang out? You want to go to the people that are exactly looking for what you have to offer. So the first thing, you know, again, what you want to do is you want to come up with it's called an avatar. So mm-hmm. for the business I'm starting, I know I'm going to be dealing with women, mostly 30 to say 55 is my ad range. They have two kids, you know, they work a part-time job. They have a home value of such and such. The more you know about who your perfect prospective target customer is, that's when you can market to those people directly. I mean, Facebook makes it super easy. You could do Facebook marketing, and it's not like you're putting out an ad that's going to be seen by a billion people. You can target exactly who's going to see it based on what they're putting in their profile.
Right, right. Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's so important, you're right, to know who your target market is. Jim, you've been a mentor, you've been a mastermind. How does one go about finding the perfect mentor? Or the mentor that gels with you?
Okay, here's the thing. And gelling is important, but it's not the most important. You know, do you watch Shark Tank?
I do.
So Mr. Wonderful is known as being abrasive. He's kind of like oh, I forget the dude's name on American Idol, but the one who always used to give like really hardcore reviews, right?
Simon.
Yes, Simon, right?
Yes.
But, you know, Simon, you know, people could say he was rude, and I think sometimes he was, but he was very direct and straightforward and honest. He didn't sugarcoat it. And if somebody was a horrible singer, he didn't say, I really appreciate it. I could see your effort, you know? Right. I mean, not trying to be rude, but when you got money on the line, when you've invested to help grow up, you want some straight answers. So there's two things that I suggest, and I talk to a lot of people who are interested in my program. Not everybody's a good fit for a number of reasons, but what I tell people is this: if you're going to invest in a coach or a mentor, and it's a great, great thing to do, you want to invest in somebody that has a proven track record. There are so many, and I don't begrudge, I don't begrudge anybody from making a living, but there are so many people out there that are saying they're coaches and I can help you build a $1 million business and I can do this, that, and the other thing. But if you actually kind of dig in, they've actually never done it. They read books, they go to seminars, and they can, and maybe they even have a good mind, but they just kind of recite and, you know, regurgitate a lot of information that might be helpful. But what I tell people is, if you want to learn how to grow multiple businesses, become a great marketer and do this and that, I mean, I could be your guy. I will tell you up front that I'm not abrasive, but I'm very direct and blunt with what I tell you, because I think life is short. And if you're paying me, I think you want my honest opinion. I actually call that tough love. So I say, someone gives, you know, tells me what's going on, I say, can I give you some tough love? And they go, okay. And then I tell
them, what's coming. I know.
This is not something you want to do right now. And here's why. Right. I was on a call literally about 3 hours ago, and somebody is growing a successful business. They're not even celebrating their second year in business. They're already past six figures. Wow. And they said, listen, Jim, one of our clients has a request that I do X, Y, and Z, which is not something they currently do. Mm-hmm. And they said, I think I can do it. It's not going to take a lot of time. I think it could be a moneymaker. I could hear the excitement in their voice. What do you think? Should I do it? And I said, absolutely not.
Okay.
And they said, and they go, why not? And I said, here's the deal.
Right.
Entrepreneurs by nature are very creative. We love to create and build new things. And we're always seeing, there's a thing called bright, shiny object syndrome. So we're chasing new things. I said, if you, the amount of time it's going to take you to kind of even build this on a small scale and provide it, and it's going to be way more, first of all, it's always going to be longer than you think. But second of all, what you have built already, if you just focus on that, get more new clients in here, you don't have to create anything new to add to your bottom line. And so a lot of people tend to get distracted because, you know, when we start a business and it's fun, exciting, next thing you know, you got a business and you're running it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes entrepreneurs don't make great managers because they're creative and they love that, but they don't like the managing or the running of the business. But in reality, there's actually a thing called, I think one of, I've heard somebody's call it creativitis or something. You've got a constant need to be creative. In reality, if you focus more and market more what you already have, you don't need to create new things.
That's right. You know, it reminds me of me. I'm always bursting with ideas, and I almost feel like I need somebody to kind of stop me and say, okay, you've got to stop this. I think I come up with at least 5 ideas a day. It's crazy.
You gotta have laser focus. If you have laser, if you know where you want to go and you have laser focus and you're not distracted, you can get there. If the people that generally, you know, the bright, shiny object, oh, that looks like a good idea. Oh, I just heard this. Oh, I should do that. Oh, all I got to do is implement this widget and it's going to do this. Well, you know, it's all a distraction.
That's right. You know, I read a book recently. It's called The One Thing. I can't remember now who wrote it.
I read that. Yeah.
Yes. And that's, you know, I'm really trying to implement that to find that one thing that's the most important. I do it every day now. And I say, okay, this is, let me just eat the frog and do this one thing first.
I know. And but, just,
yes.
You know, I do believe, I believe in the theory and the concept of the book, but, and I know there are some people who say multitasking is, you know, not a good thing. I multitask like crazy.
Right.
I am constantly moving. When my head hits the pillow, I go to sleep. But other than that, I'm doing a lot of different stuff.
Things. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. As, you know, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one key piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be?
Okay. You will earn significantly more money for who you are than what you do. I'm going to say that again. You'll earn significantly more money for who you are than what you do. So this has everything to do with positioning and branding and marketing. People want to do business with the person they feel or they know to be the go-to authority in that niche. That's why I branded myself the newsletter guru. Mm-hmm. Are there other people who can write and design newsletters? Of course there are. But if you were to Google me certainly ask in the entrepreneurial world where I operate in about newsletters, my name is going to come up.
Right.
And, you know, if you need a doctor for something, you're going to look for a doctor that has that specializes in what you need, you know? Mm. So people they're looking for the expert in that area. So to the degree, no matter what it is that you do, to the degree that you can make yourself that expert, that go-to authority, you are going to have people drawn to you instead of always chasing them.
I love that. And being authentic, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, are you ready for a lightning round now?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Encourager, mentor, and servant.
Nice. What is your guilty pleasure?
My boat.
Okay. And pretty soon it's going to be your grandchild, right?
No, I have a grandchild. And what I love is when he's on my boat with me.
Oh, yeah, exactly. What are you most passionate about?
Making a difference and serving others, especially those less fortunate.
Nice. And what is your one productivity hack?
Stop waiting, make a decision, and move forward.
I like it. It has to do with decide.
Yep.
Yes.
You caught that, huh?
What is your personal motto?
It's not about you.
Cool. And last but not the least, what would you do different if you were given another chance?
This is an easy one. I would hire a coach sooner. Mm-hmm. I waited until I thought I was ready, until I was closer to at least when I thought I could afford it. And in reality, when you make that decision, you got to realize that the money you're putting out for to be coached or to be in a mastermind is going to pay multiples with the information, knowledge, and pushing that you're going to get from that. So it seems like you're putting the cart before the horse mm-hmm. when you're new. But in reality, because this is my own personal experience. When I joined my first mastermind group, it was like $400 a month, and it was money that I didn't have. But the knowledge that I got from the other people in the group and the ideas and the pushing, by 6 months, I was earning far more than the $400 I was putting out in new revenue.
Nice. Let me ask you this really quick, Jim. Would you suggest for a mentor, would you suggest a one-on-one or would you suggest a group mentoring?
The ideal situation, I believe, is to be part of a mastermind group that has a leader, a coach. Mm-hmm. There are some mastermind groups where everybody comes together and there's no real leader, and that's right. Not necessarily bad, but when there's not a leader, it's kind of go around and everybody just shares ideas and things like that. That's better than nothing, I agree. And then the other side is just working with a coach one-on-one, and therefore you get the advantages that they bring to the table, but not right. a mastermind. So if you can find a mastermind group that's led by a seasoned entrepreneur and a good coach, that's the primo situation.
I love that. I love that. I think that's a great closing. I love that. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jim, for coming on our show and sharing your insights and giving us so many golden nuggets. We love it.
Thank you very much. Take care. Awesome.
Thanks, Jim.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Funding. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneurfunding.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.